That time.
Getting better.
And it is that time again. Once again, we are joined again by one another in my home, away from everyone that I know and love. And I didn't tell them where I was going. And I just am realizing that now. I'm just hanging out with you solo, and I didn't tell anyone where I was going.
Oh, okay. My God. It's all right.
I feel like, why did you make me leave my phone and my keys back at my house?
You wanted to. You said they were like a burden in your pocket. I said, then just drop them. You're right.
Anyway, here we are at You Know What I Would Do, the podcast where two guys are safe together and can trust each other.
Yes.
Even when they have that sinking feeling like they made a mistake by trusting this guy.
And I want you to know, if you're listening, you can also trust us. And even though this is Mike's home, I think in a lot of ways it's all our home.
Yes, I agree with that.
And I don't mean metaphorically. I mean physically. If you walked by this place and you said, hey, I listen to You Know What I Would Do, you have
I live here now.
You have a digital key. That's a physical key that you can enter the home. Take whatever you want. Spend as much time as you want inside. Mm-hmm. Wear Mike's clothes. Wear Mike's skin.
Yeah.
And be able to walk around like him in the space that he calls home, that you also can call home because it's your home.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
And I really like that. Yeah. I really like that because it's kind of a really concise way of describing how a stalker thinks.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's really great.
Is there anything bigger than a stalker right now?
Are they really big right now?
They're huge. What? A parasocial relationship. Don't we all stalk each other online? Mm. Are we always hunting for information? You know, like, yeah, I guess at the end of
it. It feels a little bit like a stretch for me, but I like that. I like that a lot. Like, I feel like you came in here today to pitch something else,
and then you got on Stalker, and now you're
really doubling down on that, and I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I do think at the end of the day, we're all stalkerish.
Sure.
Creepy online.
You're sticking to it. You're not going to move on to a new thing. You're going to stick with the stalker thing.
No, it actually, like, unlocked something to me. I was like, dude, we're all creeping online.
Did you ever see that Keanu Reeves movie, The Watcher?
The Watcher. Oh, no.
I feel like you're pointing out a lot of misspeaks that aren't happening today. You were doing it a lot inside of my house.
They happened inside.
I don't think they did. It was only because of this one. It was the Watcher one where I go, you know what? I think all the other ones were fake, too. Wow, that really shut him up. And I like that quite a bit. Now, today, we're going to make a different episode than we normally do because we're getting right into it.
But I want to say this before we do that.
Yeah.
Please. As we make a new kind of show where we just get right into it, normally we kind of meander around what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Normally we don't ever hold hands and say, guess what? Let's center ourselves physically.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get each other's minds right together. Mind meld, a little improv game. If you're not familiar with it, join an improv troupe.
Mm-hmm.
Pay $600-$700 to be told that you're not picking up that fake banana correctly.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's what improv really is. And I think instrumental in growing not only as a human being, but as a human being.
Yeah,
those two things are, like,
because I think that we are, a lot of us are really more human beings than human beings.
Yeah,
you know, like together when we all sort of stack like Lincoln Logs, we're human beings trying to create one coherent improv show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's get into it because I don't want.
Yeah.
We're doing a new show.
Yeah.
And this
one does have to be under 10 minutes long because I got stuff I got to do today.
Me as well, bud.
So this is I believe you.
This is a burden.
Yes, I know. This is the thing I have to do.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. I guess I got to record now.
Yep.
Oh, I guess I got to record now. That's what I say.
I got to let the stalkers in.
Huh?
That's what I say.
When?
That's what I consider recording to be.
To let the stalkers in?
Letting the stalkers in. Letting them back into my private space.
Let me just say this. Yeah. You don't want them inside your home.
I don't want to do this anymore. Let's get right into the audience doo-doo.
So we have an audience doo-doo that has been emailed at us, and I know what you're thinking.
It's got to be from the Patreon.
No, it's not.
Wow.
It's not. If it's from the Patreon, I'll say it's from the Patreon.
I didn't give you room to say that.
I know that, but if I'll say it's from the Patreon.
Oh, if it's from the Patreon, it's not emailed at us?
Oh. Yeah, of course they're using an email.
Oh,
but I'm just saying that if it's emailed at us, it's through the You Know What I Would Do
@gmail.com. You have this capacity to do this one thing I find really annoying, which is that when someone says, no, I'm just saying, as though that means that the note is not valid. Like, I know you're just saying, but what you just said was wrong. No, I'm just saying. I don't care.
I'm just...
But it's... You're wrong. But no. I'm just saying. And then you just still say the same thing that you're wrong about.
You are wrong for not caring. And that's offensive. And yeah. I said the wrong email. It's youknowpod@gmail.com. So okay. You know what I would do at gmail.com?
We couldn't get that one.
youknowpod@gmail.com. That's the one you email at us. And if you email at us, you're going to get read. But understand that our Patreon, and I'm done talking about it, that's an extreme, extreme priority. So I'm sorry I got to go through these things. But like Patreon, I'm coming back to you, bud. Mm-hmm. It's a pay-to-play system and you're winning.
I'm just saying.
They go on to say, hey, Mr. Castle, sir.
Whoa.
And Joey Bowie.
Okay.
Interesting. Joey, I just got Zach Bagans' autograph.
Wow.
See attached, which I did. It's legit. I got my buddy verifying it.
You authenticated.
Yes, I got a guy in Vegas. He's friends with the Pawn Star people. He's an autograph authenticator. He's able to look at the ink, the pressing, and even the paper being used to see if this person actually did sign it.
He carbon dates it.
Yes, he did. So it's 100% legit. It's a 10 out of 10. I think right now what that autograph goes for, I'd say on eBay or let's say on any kind, any Bay, Old Bay.
Sure.
You got the seasoning and you want to sell the autograph on top of that seasoning. Uh-huh. You could probably get $600,000 to $700,000.
Just for Zach Bagans, just for his autograph.
They go on to say, just wanted to share with Joey. That's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what would you do as performers? Should I send a signed headshot back?
Oh.
Any autographs or meet and greets you have on your list? Thank you for passing along the message, Mr. Castle, sir. Wow. Signed, Chris Lutton, local Oregonian.
Wow. Now, I actually think that that might be one of the funniest things that you could do. If you get a celebrity's autograph, you should spend all of your time trying to find their P.O. box, whatever it is, and send them a signed headshot of your own.
It is,
even if you're not in the industry at all. Even if you're just
Performer to performer, there's something very funny about that. I used to, the first headshot.
A CPA is what I was going to say. Even if you're just a CPA, you take your headshot and you send it over signed.
That was the most normal thing you could think of.
Yeah.
You know what a CPA stands for?
Certified Public Accountant.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Central Polls Always. CPA. Mm-hmm. Central Polls Always. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm a CPA.
Yeah.
I'm a Central Poll Always.
Yeah. Great. Great.
CPA.
Yeah. Sure.
Say the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't make me like guess what the hell
that is. Oh, you wanted me to say the whole thing.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general. Someone says like, I'm a CPA. I'm like, Central Polls Always.
It could be anything.
Yeah. What are you doing to me here, bud?
Yeah.
Certified personal assistant?
Okay. Yeah, is that what that means? Too. That could work.
What did you say?
Certified public accountant.
Either way, I'm like, hey, don't make me guess that.
I don't know if I'm even right. I honestly don't even know if I'm right.
I trust you. It sounds legit.
Yeah, it sounds like it's probably what it is.
But at the end of the day,
yeah. End of the day, it could also be categorical categorical penis advocate. And then you go like, what is that all about? What are you even advocating?
What are you talking about?
A categorical penis.
So clearly some kind of incel like lobbyist. Mm-hmm. Penis advocate?
I don't even want to get into that.
Well, you brought it up.
But even if you are a CPA, whatever it stands for, get a headshot, sign it, send it to your favorite actor.
I think there's something really funny about, so my first headshot I ever got, horrible.
I think I had it on my refrigerator for many years.
Because I did print out like 100 glossy versions of it. You have your resume on the back.
Yes.
Your CV with all your little acting credits.
That was like the first thing I did when I moved to LA. I remember they were like, you got to go to this place, get headshots.
You got to go on Hollywood Boulevard.
You
have to do that. And it's just a racket. It's insane.
No, I think mine was on Cahuenga.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Fancy. So there's just like, it's just a racket to take money from people. Obviously necessary to a degree, but it's crazy. So my headshot.
Well, you also, there was something wrong with your eyebrows in that headshot, I seem to recall.
Well, I don't really have eyebrows.
No, I know that. Yeah, that's well documented, well known. But didn't you like get them like colored in or something? There was something weird about your eyebrows in that I never noticed until you pointed it out. And I was like, whoa, you should not be sending that
I'm going to find that photo. I'm going to put it online. I'm putting it on.
Yeah, because I had it on my fridge for many years when I lived alone too. So I'd see it all the time. Yeah. And your signature said, you're welcome. And then it was your name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved giving those out because it was insane. And I just thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible photo of me.
It's one of the worst photos of you for sure, but also just one of the worst photos.
Period. And to give them out with pride and ask them to be hung up, I think is the funniest thing.
Yeah.
It's like you're not going to hold this against me. This happened. I'm going to weaponize it for my own good.
I kind of feel like headshots themselves cannot be good.
No.
Like, even a good one, you kind of go like, this is lame.
Well, the headshots I do enjoy are when they're artistic, you know, black and white. Like, it's like a look. They're not smiling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't look like you're ready to be on like a advertisement or some shit like that.
Yeah.
It's just, it kind of catches you in the moment, you know?
Sure.
That's what I'm
saying. Sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm just sort of like, no, even those I think are bad.
Yeah, I think you think those are okay.
No, I don't.
I think you think those are okay.
I think
okay.
I don't think that.
I think you think that.
But so, in answer to this one, what I would do is exactly what you've suggested. I would just sign a headshot of yourself and send it back to them. And I would even steal your bit and say you're welcome.
What are you going to do that's original, bud? You're just taking all of my stuff.
I'm a mover and a taker.
Wow.
If anyone ever asked for my autograph and then I gave it to them and then I received theirs in the mail days later, that would be, I would actually go, I like this
person. That's a fucking huge move. Scary that he got my information, but they are stalking you. So they do know that. What I would like to see is anybody, you know, when you go out to see a play or like, you know, premiere.
It's been a long time.
But do you know?
I barely recall.
But
barely
do
recall.
You know?
I would love to see a play. It's just,
do you know?
I haven't been invited.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay. After the play gets out or the premiere begins, all these fans are out there asking people to sign like anything, right? But there are also these people who go out there specifically looking for celebrities to sign their shit so they can sell them on eBay or whatever, right? I think those people, first off, we got to be like, look, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Not allowed to do that anymore just because it's like for-profit signature. It's weird. It's creeping me out.
It is weird. Yeah.
Don't like that.
Yeah. I've seen that happen with Lauren actually where I'll go like, I don't think that person even knows who she is. It's like it's like part of like some bigger money related thing.
They have
like,
a dossier of faces
that they're
just going to knock out because they're like, oh, this person's in this movie. I've seen that.
I've seen that as well. It's really weird.
It's really insane. It's just a business. It's wild. Yeah. But you're a regular person. You're a CPA.
Sure.
Right? And you're out there and you're looking to get a headshot, a sign, or you're looking to get a signature, an autograph from Zach Bagans or from, let's even say, Tom Cruise.
Sure.
Well, who are you going to say?
Stephen Wright.
So great comedian, but if you're gonna,
it doesn't always have to be funny. Sometimes you can just say I would like Stephen Wright's autograph.
I would like Stephen Wright.
I know, but it was kind of like you wanted me to say something funny, and then I just said something normal, and you're kind of like, I could see the judgment where you're like, Stephen Wright, that's not that funny. Yeah, fine, great comedian.
So, so if you're out there, mm-hmm. we gotta ice this, dude.
Our beef that's happening?
Right, yeah, because I am not going forward on this podcast with this kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
We have a duty, not only to Chris
Lund. D-O-O-T-Y.
To not only Chris
Lund. D-O-O-D-Y. Duty.
D-O-D.
D.
What we need to do is we need to make sure that we can step up, not only for each other, but for ourselves.
Mm.
So right now I want to say I forgive you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I definitely am working on forgiving you.
Thank you.
Anyway, you were saying?
So that a CPA goes up to, do you really forgive me?
I said I'm going to work on forgiving you. I didn't say I forgive you.
Yeah, but
are you listening at all?
Of course I'm
not,
listening.
I have not, no part of me said I'm forgiving you. I said I'm going to continue to work on forgiving you.
And here we are again.
I'm trying to.
Here we are again.
Sorry that it's not so easy for me.
It's
You've
okay.
offended me too much, too regularly for too long.
And I apologize to you.
And I said I'm working on forgiving
yes.
you.
Yes.
Continue.
And I forgive you.
Thanks.
So what I'm saying is, if you're a CPA,
yeah.
right? Central penis and a forcer, whatever the hell
sure,
you whatever
advocate.
You said, whatever. You have to have a headshot on you at any time.
Yeah.
Because you're like, even if you're just like, oh, I wonder. And the same thing going to Disneyland, getting an autograph because you're with your kids, you don't give a shit. But like, you know, Minnie Mouse comes through, wants to sign the autograph book. You know what you got to do? You got to give Minnie a headshot of yourself.
Yeah.
You know what that does?
So we're kind of on the same tip here.
But it doesn't even have to be performer to perform. I'm not asking to do it like at the end or like find your address. You have. Everyone has stacks of heady shots ready to go at any given moment. Every time I sign a check, you know what happens?
Mm.
The bank sends me a signed headshot of all the bankers.
I honestly love this.
Anytime you're guess what? I got a sign for this at the grocery store.
Hundreds and thousands of these. Think of the paper that is being wasted.
It's already there.
Yeah.
Paper's already there. Yeah. The glossy print is already out. We're just putting some images on top of it. And that's what I'm saying of like, hey, let's do, because if we have headshots of everybody that we've ever signed anything to or from, you know what that does? That connects us a little deeper.
Uh-huh.
Because every time I walk into a print shop and I look at that wall of different celebrities who've randomly come in asking to print something, maybe they're like, hey, I just need this image printed again. It's just an image of a cat singing on a tree. Can I get that printed? And they're like, wait. They're going to find your photo online, print it out, make you a sign. I'm going to put it on the wall. But every time I go into that print shop, I see those folks. But what about the normies? What about the CPAs that are going in every day?
Do you think that, how do you think people would, just like normal people, how do you think they would react if you just started always asking normal people for their autograph? You just went up to a random guy and you're like, hey, would you mind? Can I have your autograph? Like, do you think, how many autographs do you think you could get? Because I kind of feel like a lot of people wouldn't, because they would feel like there's something bad is happening.
Yeah.
Because it's so odd.
No.
Because you wouldn't know their names. So they'd be like, why do you want my autograph?
Yeah,
What would you say? Why do you want my autograph? Like, let's say we're at Chipotle.
Okay.
I just made a burrito for you, and you haven't even taken a bite or anything, but you paid, and now you
that's a great example, because I'm like, I love the way you made that burrito. Can I get your autograph?
Yeah. Do you think they would do it?
I think so, out of fear.
I feel like a lot of people would be like, no.
They want to say no, but they're like, sure?
Yeah.
Like, you know, forced compliance in that way? Just like, I guess?
Yeah.
They would not feel good about giving it afterwards.
And that is your predatory energy, basically incarnate in a single example.
But this is, you gave me the example. I didn't bring this
up. It was really
up.
Easy for me to imagine, because it just feels so right for you.
Well, I mean, I'm just a theater of the mind.
Yes.
So that's what I would do. I would ask everyone to have a headshot on them. So that anytime anyone wants to get a headshot of somebody else, we have that. And you know what it does? It stops getting, oh, I don't want Chris Pines. I don't care about that anymore. Chris Pratt? No, thank you. You know who I want? I want Brandon. Who's Brandon?
I don't know his last name, but I just want his autograph. Now, here's what I'll say, and then we're going to move on.
Yeah.
You basically have the same idea that I had, which we both took from the suggestion.
It was my idea.
No, we both took it direct from the audience doo-doo. But when I said it, you said, I have no original ideas. And then you continued to say it after mine.
You took my
idea. And I hope that helped.
Chris, I hope that helped.
Now, we got a lot of really good stuff that we're going to talk about today. But we're trying to fly through it, because this is a tenor. This is a tenor.
Let's go,
dude. It's a 10-minute episode. So this time, right now, here in front of God, we're talking about alchemy.
Yes, sir.
Now, alchemy is something I don't... It is nothing. It's sort of, you know, a classic example of pseudoscience right before science. You know, it's right before they figured out chemistry, basically.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of it. It's very fun. It's very magic-based. And I've been reading this, like, book of essays by this physicist named Carlo Rovelli that is called There Are Places in the World Where Rules Matter Less, I think it's called.
Rules matter more than kindness.
No.
I think so.
No. In that, the writer in this very brief essay, he's talking about that the fact that Sir Isaac Newton was really into alchemy. And was really trying to figure out if it had any sort of scientific merit or value. And I just love this idea. And it basically, this guy worked on it for his whole life, as he's also, you know, totally changing the world of physics. Basically, the father of, you know, modern physics. Newtonian physics, yeah. But at the same time, he's, like, testing all this. Like, can I turn water into gold? And all this sort of shit. There's something kind of exciting and funny to me about it. But basically, he never cracks it. But he, all the while, for his whole life, he's trying to figure out if there's anything meaningful in alchemy. And I think he, like, wrote some, like, thing in his journal shortly before he died about, like, sort of wishing that he could have figured out if there's any meaning to this alchemy thing. And to me, it's sort of an amazing thing to, like, just look at a genius like that and go, oh, he was, like, almost arriving at chemistry, but he didn't quite get to it. And so that's what made me want to talk about this today.
Alchemy is fun. The transmutation of any kind of metal into gold.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of the major grab towards it. You know, they want to figure out, is there any way for me to make infinite money?
That's
the idea.
Yeah. It's sort of like it's like the worst intention.
Yeah.
There's not anything really noble about it necessarily.
No, but there is something about it that makes it seem to me as like a scientific religion where rulers, anyone with money, was bankrolling this initiative to people who were okay at chemistry, figuring that they were doing something. Something was happening when they were putting these metals together with this solvent or whatever.
Yes.
Right? You know what I mean? So they're like, okay, we're getting somewhere. So,
yeah, but it's also like just post, you know, like believing in pure magic.
Yeah.
You know, so they're still kind of going like, I think you're doing some kind of magic.
Well, it's like
also, everything you don't understand does feel like magic.
100%, especially chemistry. We're like, this concoction, mix these two things together.
You ever seen this guy on Instagram named Big Manny? Maybe Big Manny One. He's like a British chemist.
Oh, yeah.
He's cool, like, all right, boom.
Yes.
And then, he's so amazing.
Cool.
But you watch all the stuff he does where he's like showing like reactions between like lithium and mercury and all this stuff. if you don't know what any of this stuff is, that it literally, it looks like fucking, you know, the Magician's Apprentice, whatever, yeah. the Black Cauldron. Mm-hmm. Like, it just looks like pure magic. Mm-hmm. I would have no basis to say that it is not magic.
Well, we're desensitized by that magic now. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many versions of that. I mean, the fact that...
Well, and we all think we're smart because yeah. we, like, learned a thing in a book that told us that it wasn't this, but it's this when we were kids.
And we failed that class.
Of course it's not magic, mm-hmm. you know, but, yeah. you know, if you didn't have that foundation...
I'll blow my ass.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell
like,
is
my ass is blown. I'm going to follow that magician.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's really something cool. I also love... Newton going, okay, figuring out physics and not separating the magic with the science.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, keeping everything open, I think is really interesting. And this way of...
I'm pretty sure he was religious. I
had
sure.
to have been, dude.
I'm
like,
pretty sure.
Part of all this is you don't get to do this unless it's sanctioned by the church. Mm-hmm. You can't do... occult practicing.
Oh, yeah, right? No, but the church was really anti-Newton, I believe, because sure. of Principia or whatever. Like, his the big physics book,
well,
I think,
he was going,
scary
like,
to them.
The fact that he's saying there's something out there that is not deity-related mm-hmm. as a cause for these things, mm-hmm. not a good look, mm-hmm. right? Because you're like,
true.
It's got to be God doing it, right? And eventually, I forgot who's the, there was a Jesuit priest or a priest who found the celestial bodies. And
Thomas Aquinas?
Was it? I don't know. I forget who it was. But the church's like, fuck you, dude. You're going to die. And then they're like, oh, actually, you're right. Okay, my bad. Because then the church was like, we can kind of own that IP. Anyway, doesn't matter. But I love that anytime someone is in the pursuit of knowledge and allows themselves to still believe in the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I don't know. Maybe. And yeah. why not? Why close that door based on logic or whatever? It's like, I get why you're like, no way, that can't be real. But at the same time, they're asking these questions that there is no answer for.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a piece that can be used as a temple for the larger answer. That's what he's just trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And you have the...
I mean, there's a lot of stuff, I would say, in modern physics that feels a little bit close to a similar kind of like, I don't know, like... theology, I would say. Like a lot of stuff with like dark matter or whatever, you know, where they're like these theoretical things that help tie together the holes within our understanding of the physical universe.
Yeah.
I kind of go like, you're just going like, yes, there has to be super symmetry between fermions and bosons because that would just make so much sense. But it's, I don't know, it feels very religious to me. Where
because
you're
absolute.
Like, you can't find any evidence of this? Like, no, but it would be really, it would be very clean.
And if you disagree, we're going to crucify you. Okay, mm-hmm. that's just how it goes, okay? Mm-hmm. And they put you in the Large Hadron Collider and they shoot you around. That's mm-hmm. how it goes if you disagree with those priests or mm-hmm. scientists,
yes.
as they like to be called.
They got so many priests at the
they have
LHC.
So many priests, I don't understand it. But I love it. I love the idea of this dude just hunting for this stuff.
Yeah.
And you hear this often with different scientists or different brilliant minds just being open to either aliens or
yeah.
like supernatural phenomena.
Right. Like, wasn't Tesla really, he was a big believer in aliens. And I think he like believed a lot of like his scientific insight and stuff was coming, like, you know, being channeled to him.
That's a common thought for a lot of, I think I mentioned this in American Cosmic when I was talking about that book. Like, yeah. Brilliant people often say that, like, you know, 11 million bits per second. I don't know how this thought just came to
me.
Has to be through some channeling to a higher power. And since they don't, they're like, I'm probably don't believe in God. There must be another civilization. There's something is instructing me and pushing mm-hmm. me towards this. What is it? Who is it? Who knows? So I think that's true when you're that smart
mm-hmm.
and you're like, well, I don't believe in religion, but like something has to make sense for this to be real. What is this? And then they're like, yeah, I'm an alien or ghosts uh-huh. or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. So it makes sense to me that there is this search for the unknown. And when you're doing that, when you're trying to answer physics, no one's ever at like, what the fuck is this?
Right? Yeah.
If you can be like, oh my gosh, that is real. That makes then like that's exciting to be like, well, maybe the alchemy is real.
You know,
maybe I can do this. And uh-huh. why not? I've just discovered this thing that no one else has discovered. Maybe I could make gold.
Well, something I loved too in this essay about Newton was they included some of his notes, like this page of his notes where he sort of like has like characters and a key or whatever. And he's kind of like going, you know, he's like made up all these like crazy symbols. They look so occult. It's like it's just wild. But you know, it's like he's trying to make it as scientific as physics and all this stuff. He's using these things that look very similar to Greek symbols, but they're just totally made up symbols.
Love that.
As he's just trying to map the whole thing out. And I was kind of just like, that's sort of the basis of a lot of science is you're kind of just going like, yeah, this is kind of like this. It looks mm-hmm. kind of like this. And here's my little key to make it work. And it's all just totally made up. Like, I mean, that was my main takeaway. I was like, as someone who is, I read a lot of stuff about science, but I feel like I'm still largely scientifically illiterate. You know, like I'll look at these symbols and go like, I don't know what any of this means. But so I'm looking at his notes or whatever, and I'm kind of going like, yeah, I don't know. It seems right. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. It doesn't look any different to me than, you know, epsilon and all the Greek symbols used in math and stuff.
Yeah. If you showed me like one of the equations that he's using and shit, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah. You're like, is this good?
Yeah. Is this bad?
Yeah.
Do we kill him? No. Okay. I don't know. I love alchemy. This is what I would do about alchemy.
Yeah.
You ever seen the show Full Metal Alchemist?
I have not.
An anime, it's really fun. Again, alchemy is in the title. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But alchemy is, I don't think about it enough.
Yeah.
And that's what I was like, man. I don't,
that's surprising to me, actually. When I wrote this one down, I was like, I bet you Joey's got all this alchemy shit.
I don't think about it enough. And I love the idea of these just people in all around the world, makeshift laboratories, trying to figure out a way using the chemicals that they, and I like hurriedly doing so because they know they're like, look, most people aren't going to be down with this. Like, you know, the powers at large want it, but they can't say they do. So they got to kind of work in secret. Let's get these machines moving, because if not, people are going to come and destroy the lab. So we got to get this thing quick. But the whole point of it is to get gold. Right, that's the general idea of what alchemy is.
I think we
is.
All agree that yeah, all of alchemy is about like making something into gold.
Yes, right. That's like that. That's really what the goose is. Right.
That's why we all signed up for this program.
1,000%. But why not say alchemy is not about making gold? Alchemy is about making smoke. And if you can make,
because then you're crushing.
Because then you're like every time
we've done it.
Yeah, we've done it. It's like I don't understand being like, you know what? Let's just like move the needle back.
Yeah,
maybe gold was like that's too. Oh, wow, yeah. That'd be really cool.
You're basically saying like they should make it so that the goal of every experiment is to successfully create a failed experiment.
That's what I'm saying.
And you go, so we did it.
We did it.
You thought it was going to be successful, but it's a fail.
Exactly.
We failed.
But that's what we wanted to do.
That's great.
And then instead of it being like, that happened with this, being like, look, everyone's geeking out on it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more high fives. Mm-hmm. People are way chiller about it because it's not about, I'm not trying to take over your religion. I'm not trying to like, you know, New World Order this thing. I'm just trying to make smoke. Mm-hmm. Look at this.
Look how much we've already made.
And it's hard to breathe in here, right? So everyone's high five and everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
But that chilled vibe is going to actually lead to somebody mistakenly making gold.
I love that.
That's what's going to happen. Because I feel
huge leap. Well, but I love
that. You're chasing the rabbit, you're not going to catch it.
I think you've really highlighted a key point, though, that I feel that a lot of science does not put enough emphasis on everyone high-fiving.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, that would be your contribution to the movement of science, I would
1,000%. And they'd be like, oh, hey, you're contaminating the space because you're taking off your little white sheet and you're like, you know, the face mask and all this shit. Because it's like, you know what I mean? We're in a certain
kind. Okay, so this isn't a super well-funded operation. You're wearing a white sheet?
Yeah, whatever they have, those lab coats and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they're on bed sheet because you can't get a lab.
But yeah, then I'm getting a really vivid picture of the group you've got.
Like, it's not the KKK, okay?
I wasn't saying
and
that.
Then you got goggles. You
made it that. I was picturing that they're all wearing butcher paper jackets that just rip apart easily.
Yeah, they're wearing craft paper, whatever we can, and we're going in there, and then it's like, high five in there.
Yeah.
I want skin to skin.
No, I love that. And now here's what I would do. I feel that it should be when you're graduating, let's say senior year of high school, over that summer before you go to college, you have to spend 3 months coming up with your own science with its own nomenclature and its own symbols, and it can be about anything that you want.
Oh wow.
Because to me, alchemy is so not anything. But you can spend all this time working on it and convincing yourself. I basically feel like if you have every student when their minds are, you know, at the most fertile that they're going to be, basically, all working on something, understanding that it can be as erroneous as alchemy, but you're still making up your own thing and trying to create your own system of how these things connect, someone's going to get something.
Yeah.
Something is going to happen.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. No, we're on the same tip.
Yeah, just being like, hey, look, just go, just have fun.
The failure of alchemy makes it so that it opens us up to creating other failed sciences.
That's what I want. Yeah. I'm sick and tired of people being like,
always having to be right.
Exactly.
And the math having to be balanced and it having to make sense.
There should be an avenue where people will get to just have fun with science and be like, no, they're just fucking around over there.
Yeah.
It's
I like that. Just a full, I mean, that's basically, you know, a ton of stuff like, what's the one where it's like the smallest percentage of the chemical and it's diluted in water? Homeopathy. It's like that basically, where it's like, let us believe in our little magical fake science.
I think there should be a $400 billion subsidized facility where anybody can go in there and do whatever the hell they want with all the equipment and everyone goes, fucking legit.
Yeah.
Legit.
Yeah.
It can't leave here unless it's good, but you get to have fun in there.
And we all understand it's not going to be good no matter what.
Sure.
But moving right along. Okay, this is exciting because this is very much a Joey topic, but I also am going to say things that are as equally uninformed as you.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where we're going to start from, and that we're talking about Roswell.
Yeah.
The alien crash landing site, mm-hmm. Roswell, New Mexico, that kicked off the phenomena of extraterrestrials visiting, mm-hmm. maybe being embedded with us here in America and the world.
Now, before we get into that, though, I want to say two things. One, do you feel like you have a unconscious or conscious need to say the topics when you feel like I'm gonna, like I can't say all of them or something?
Yeah.
And why is that? It's like an ownership thing?
Not at all. I feel like it's more of a pacing thing.
Yeah.
I don't want one individual.
You don't want me to keep saying it.
Or me to keep saying it.
Yeah. Why?
To keep it in check. I look at myself as a natural balance keeper.
Yeah. So that is shocking to hear.
So what I see.
That is shocking.
Yeah. Wow. Because you understood the imbalance and you're like, thank God he's doing this.
No, because I would go like, you're the imbalance maker.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm the balance maker.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. But then the other thing I wanted to say is here are five questions.
Oh, okay.
What's the name of Robin Hood's forest?
Open.
What's the best Pokemon?
Charizard.
Yeah. What's a nice thing you could say to me but never would? Could you put a man on the moon?
Duh.
Yeah. If you could invent a style of pant, what would it be?
High rise, low cut.
Love it. Now, Roswell, it's interesting to me because it also feels like there's that, it's like the Oppenheimer time in science where it's kind of, there's like this different vibe around science.
Nuclear age is there.
Yeah.
50s, post-war, everyone's riding high.
And well, there's a lot of this theory too that like UFO sightings and all this stuff like rapidly, increased following like the dropping of the nuclear bomb, right?
There's a theory that is that
aliens were like, oh, now you guys figured that out.
Yes. Uh-huh. And also there's a theory that a dimensional shift happened when that nuclear bomb exploded. Mm-hmm. Like we opened ourselves to seeing, are they seeing us in this way where it's like, okay, now similar to like, not that we just created the energy and they were like, okay, they're advanced enough.
Yeah.
But we had like ripped a portal in some, if that makes sense, right? Which
I mean, it makes some sense.
I'm like, we didn't know what was going to happen when we dropped it.
Well, and you're doing like, it's such a hard thing to comprehend what is happening with the nuclear bomb. Like, it's truly so wild. Like you're taking these elementary particles and you're causing this like the biggest reaction using like, you know, protons and electrons and all this shit. It's so fucking crazy.
I love Roswell.
Yeah.
In the lore of it all. Just in the story.
Yeah. Well, perfect fucking name. I believe. But maybe I only think that because it's been the name.
Well, Roswell, New Mexico, it's still not, you know, it's not like a super developed city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, it's perfect. You're right. Yeah. It's like, it's amazing. Everything about it, I can't think of a better time for a alien to crash land in America, in any place in the world, then post World War II, 1950 something, high desert of America.
Is Roswell Area 51? Is that the same thing?
No.
Oh,
two different places.
Oh, okay.
Two different places. Yeah, got Area 51 is in Nevada.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
But this, like, I just, if it crashed 10 years before, wouldn't have been as cool. Mm. You know what I mean? Early 40s.
Yeah, you know, we're kind of, everyone's going like, are you hearing about what these Nazis are doing? No one wants to really talk about
it. It just added to like the confusion and the fear.
Yeah, it has to happen post-war because everyone's a little bit more laid back.
It's super laid back and we're proud.
Yeah.
And we think that we have the best technologies ever, or at the time we do, right? Mm-hmm. So, and there's also in this atomic age and there's so much hope. And like we're looking at the future, like anything's possible. The Jetsons and all this shit. And to have that like crash land then, you're like, oh shit. To build onto these conspiracies, like what is the government hiding? I find it so fun, and maybe
I find it very fun as well.
It's just like I don't think there would have been a better time for that to happen because the '60s.
Yeah, no. Then you go like everyone's all fucking on drugs.
Exactly. Everyone's bloated on alcohol.
Yeah, the '50s is the perfect time for it to happen, where everyone is both laid back and sober, but also like drunk and smug. And yep. you know, there's like a, it's a it's. But I mean, I guess there's also like the whatever like
PTSD
McCarthy era and all that sort of shit is happening, right?
Yeah,
the 1950s.
Yeah, Red yeah. Scare and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But
that also points out that you know there is a the attention was pointed in a lot of directions. You know, where they're like, are you guys commies? And they're also like, I think there's aliens. And they're like, I don't trust the government. I think they're hiding the
well,
aliens.
Was that even before that? Was McCarthyism before that?
Well, I think it was like probably like within that same sphere of time.
Well, it had to be because the red, like communism is.
Yeah. And plus, you know, Oppenheimer.
Right. that's right. That's right. I think it's one of the coolest. I think it's amazing. Like,
but like, what is your true belief about all of this? Because there was several unconnected but similar reports of like lights in the sky and crash landings and all of these things that different eyewitness testimonies were all basically vouching for, right?
For Roswell.
Yeah. Like all these different people who were not talking to each other and didn't know each other were all saying similar sort of things.
Yes.
And do you think something actually did happen? Like
this is
I always assume secret stuff is being tested by the government. It has nothing to do with
it. Well, I have not been to the site, the crash site, but this is what I've always heard about it from sources that have no reason to lie. These aren't like, you know, conspiracy theorists or these aren't ufologists. These are normal people, right? Mm-hmm. The actual crash site is not, you're not supposed to know where it is. It's not like impossible to find, but it's not like geotagged or anything.
Okay.
You just got to go out there and you'll find it. But when you actually come onto the crash site, it is, from what I've heard described, like several football fields, like, you know, if not like half a mile or something like that, of just random scrap metal everywhere. Uh-huh. Everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And confiscate? Is that like the, how do you say to like, so like, it's like you can't find it. There's a word for it.
Obfuscate.
So they just throw all this metal around. Mm-hmm. So you're not able to find which, if there's any pieces of the crash, which they were unable to completely collect.
Uh-huh.
So they were like, well, fuck it. Just like dump all this metal there. So
the government is very crafty with stuff like that. I always kind of go like, nice.
That's legit.
That's
so
really shitty of you.
Now, assuming that's true, which I believe is true.
Sure.
Right. Again, I have not seen it. Haven't been there.
Anything nefarious with the government is very easy to believe.
Yeah. But that makes me go like, okay, so there is something here that they don't, it's impossible for them to find all the pieces. It's a desert. You're like, what the fuck out of you? You know what I mean? Like, whoever was in charge of that, like, cleanup was like, oh, just put a whole bunch of metal here. Just dump a whole bunch of metal. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Just everyone, we're going to come out for days. Just dump out some metal. That to me, I was like, okay, well, I don't know what happened, but it sounds to me like something actually crashed here.
Uh-huh.
It makes me believe a little more that something fantastic happened outside of like our own weaponry or whatever. Because if it was something of ours that crash landed there, I guarantee you that fences would have been put up, facility would have been erected to make sure that no one was able to get to it because it was like our proprietary get the fuck out of here.
But
because it's something that we don't know what it was, it's just like
they didn't have time to
get the fuck out of here. Just get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's also, you know, people with radiation afterwards from picking up the metal. It's like all this like the things that we're familiar with UFOs where, you know, there's high strangeness of either markings, burns, like, you know, okay, rising cancer rate, etc., whatever. Like, why? Because like so much radiation you've just been exposed to.
Uh-huh.
But I love it. I think it's really fun. It's one of the great American conspiracies.
And it's like the dawn of conspiracies.
Yeah.
Like, so are there meaningful conspiracies in America before that? I mean, like, maybe some related to the Manhattan Project.
Well, I mean,
something.
I think there's like ghosts and shit like that. Like, you know.
Yeah, but
like,
I don't know. That
you're talking about conspiracy. Like a government cover.
Yeah, like I'm saying, I feel like that kind of begins the modern era of conspiracy.
Yeah, plot. Yeah. And is there anything better than just as Americans knowing that like the most major alien crash in the world happened in our backyard?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Is there anything more? Can you just like fly a flag for that?
Uh-huh.
Just knowing that USA all the way. We got the first alien crash.
Yeah.
We got it, baby.
Maybe. I'm not so convinced of that.
I'm like, just saying.
There's a lot of like stories out of other countries that are similar to but are less popular.
I think you have
an American bias there.
Yeah,
right?
I do.
You're kind of going like you want to thump your chest and say America.
Yes, I do. Where did this alien want to crash?
Yeah.
Could crash anywhere.
New Mexico.
Let's go, baby. Yeah. USA. Route 66, man. Mm-hmm. That's a historic route. So like the fact that alien wanted to land here says a lot about us.
Yeah,
it says a lot about
us. I don't know what it says about us.
It says they're like we're trying to ice you guys out, but we missed.
I think here's what I would do is I think I would just become I've actually talked about this on here before, where there was at my grade school, there was like a, you could win a raffle to be principal for the day. And like a student would walk around and get to pretend to be the principal, basically. Mm-hmm. I would like to set that up with the United States government and the role of president, where someone can become president for a day.
Yeah.
And I would rig it so that I could be president for a day in which I get to learn all of the secrets.
I don't know if you would.
And you shouldn't. And they should not do this. Yeah. But I'm the first one, so they didn't realize that it was a bad idea.
They were like, I guess we could.
They're like, let's just show them. Let's just show them. Yeah. We'll just shoot them in the head. You know, like they plan to do that, and then they're like, we probably shouldn't shoot them in the head. But I already learned. But so I would just like to know every single thing about Roswell. And I just, you know.
You mean just the city?
No, no, no. I'm talking about the thing that we've been talking about in this topic.
Because you said Roswell, so I was like.
Yeah, but I feel like that was maybe
like
intentional.
Like the city founding?
Yeah, I felt like that was an intentional misunderstanding on your end.
Jimmy Roswell, the guy who founded Roswell?
No.
You don't want to know
about I don't want to know jack shit about Jimmy Roswell.
Well, they're not going to learn a lot about Roswell.
Well, no, I want to learn all about the crash, and I want them to tell me definitively if it was aliens. Like, with all this, the alien reports or whatever that came out, like, last year.
Yeah.
I want...
Disclosure?
I want so much more on that.
Dude, it's like...
Wait, so there are aliens?
Fuck those people who are out there saying there's aliens, and then, like, just like, well, we're going to wait. I'm like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You're trying to sell a book. There's a Dr. Greer.
Whoa.
Is a same last name as me.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, one of the leading ufologists for Disclosure.
Yeah,
I think he was a dentist or something before. Mm-hmm. He was like an actual medical doctor, then came into ufology. I really don't like that he has my name because it's like, he's taking a job I want.
Yeah.
That's a job I want.
And they're not going to give the same job to two people.
No, they're not.
Dad's a doctor.
Yeah, but he doesn't. I'm the one that can thread the needle.
Mm.
Neither of them can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is what I would do about Roswell. Mm-hmm. Throw me back in time, obviously, right? Yeah. I'm right there right before the crash. I'm in the area, right? I'm hiding behind a bush, okay? I got like bush camo on. I'm just chill. And I'm not.
For whatever reason, I am picturing pubic hair. Like that's what you put on. You were like, I'm going to hide behind the bush. And you have this huge pubic hair thing.
Huge.
And then you're trying to hide behind a big green bush.
Yeah, but it's only up. So you the lower half of my body fully exposed.
Yeah,
but just the hips up, I can't see
disgusting.
Shit.
Disgusting.
Can't see shit. And it's like damp. It's hurting my eyes.
Yeah, it has to.
So I'm hiding, right? Mm. Alien crash lands. Oh my God, right? All the shit people out there. I go up there. I scoop one of those little alien boys.
Boom,
right?
Dead from radiation.
No, he's not.
Poisoning.
No, I'm not. No, okay, I'm not. Okay, dude, okay. The bush protects.
Yeah, I was going to say
the bush protects me. Yeah. But then it burns off. So all the bush burns off. And then I'm back to my normal bushes. Mm-hmm. And then I got the alien. I drop him down. I'm like, you all right? Give him CPR. Help him back up. He's like, what? The fuck?
Now, what is CPR? That's central pruning reduction?
Exactly. That's what happened to the bush. Mm-hmm. So boom, I bring the alien back, right? We're helping each other. I get him back. Like, he's like, holy shit. Holy shit.
Oh, he speaks English.
No shit he does,
nice.
Man. No one else asked.
Lucky.
Nobody asked him mm-hmm. if he spoke English.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't gender him.
Has he met any humans yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Me.
He just crash landed.
Yeah, but he met me.
So you're saying, but you didn't ask if he spoke English.
You just said
no one asked if he spoke English. And then I said, has he met any humans? You said, yeah, me. In this moment in which you say no one has asked him if he spoke English.
Yeah.
The logic is like, it's like a black hole. It's like, so it's.
We're talking space.
Yeah.
So we're in there. We're talking. He's like, oh my God. Oh my God. What happened to my ship? What happened to my buddy? What happened to my buddy? And I'm like,
that's the alien
thing? Yeah. And I'm like holding him back with the shoulders. I'm like, dude, listen to me. The ship crashed. Your buddy's fucking gone, dude.
You don't even know that.
I don't know that, man. But I know the government's going to be there any second in Humvees and shit, right? And I'm like, Humvees? He's like, aren't they having Jeeps? It's the 50s. And I'm like, I slap him in the face. I'm like, listen to me, dude. I'm from the fucking future, okay? I think I have a little more priority than your space ass in the 50s, okay? You're a cool guy. You're going to affect the world right now. But also trust that I have value because I'm from the future. And he's like, okay, chill. And I was like, do you ever seen improv before? And he's like, what? I was like, my buddy's gone. I was like, have you seen improv? And he's like, I don't know. I just want to go home. I'm like, fine. That's our suggestion. We're going home. He's like, what? I go, that's our suggestion. All right.
And you're going to do a little act out now?
Yes.
He's like, he's got like severe physical and brain trauma. And you're going like, okay, the suggestion is I want to go home. And you're like, got some coffee here. I want to drink some coffee. I really got to get home early. And then he's like, I love this. Like, he's into it, do you think?
No, man.
Oh, no, he's just
spiraling, like, freaking out. Yeah. He wants out of this cave. He wants out. And he was like, let me go back. Let me go see if I can help him. He's like, I have medical equipment inside my skin that can save him. I'm like, there's no time, dude. We're not going to edit like that. First off, second off, stay within the scene, buddy.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah, you're going like, you're coming in with your own little game. I'm asking you yes and, you dumb piece of shit. And he's not doing that. I mean, I can't think of anyone being a worse ambassador for mankind than you violently pushing improv on an injured alien. That's kind of like a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And so that's what you would do. That's okay. What I would do. Moving right along. This one,
oh, because I got the other one.
Okay, great. So we're talking live concerts. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a lot of shame when it comes to live concerts because I feel that it's like not a good opinion, but I don't really like going to live music.
Do you ever see live concerts and you think live concerts?
No, I haven't had that. Mm. Yeah.
They're spelled the same.
Mm-hmm.
Live and live.
Yeah.
But we say live, meaning that like you're experiencing it in the moment, but isn't it something to live for?
I guess, yeah.
I think a lot of people look at concerts.
I don't think so. I almost feel like we got to just edit this whole section out, you know? Just kind of clip, 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 and just take that out and start again.
I do think, though, that like you do live for these concerts.
Sure,
you,
I don't. I just said I don't like them.
I'm saying that, Lord. Yeah. When I say you, Mike, I'm not talking to you.
Okay, but so with live concerts, I have like a, it's almost like it speaks to the part of me that's more of an introvert than an extrovert. Yeah. And I feel like really anxious at live concerts.
Me too. I want to leave.
I want it to be over. Really badly.
I saw The Boss.
Oh yeah. Right? Yes.
Okay. So I saw Bruce Springsteen. Right. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Insane.
Mm-hmm.
Not familiar with his music. Didn't really know much about him. Amazing.
Yeah. I almost feel like that is, I don't know, better than going when you. Like
that's how I wanted to experience it.
Yeah.
I got our buddy Don, who like threw me some tickets. I was like, fuck yeah, dude, let's go.
I mean, and that's the ultimate like Bruce Springsteen Sherpa. Don.
Oh my God. Jersey. Like,
he can really guide you. Oh, all yeah.
You're literally telling me what these lyrics mean while I'm listening to him. I'm like, couldn't have asked for a better experience.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with Bruce Springsteen, but I'm like, Sprungstong.
When I first moved to LA, I saw Bon Iver at like some USC venue or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I love them. Like, I totally love the music. And it was like, it was sort of the beginning of my lack of interest in live music. Even though I was like, I'm listening to them so much. I love all these songs. And they put on an amazing show. But it, like, at the same time, I'm sort of just going like, oh, I actually just like having headphones on and being alone. As opposed to like being here with all these people kind of singing along and like a little bit weirdly making his performance their own performance or something. And then there's also the sort of like Groucho Marx thing of like never wanting to belong to a club that would have me as a member. Where it's sort of like watching the show and then going like, oh, so you guys all like this too, sort of like degrades my own experience.
It's an indictment on who you were
a little bit, or it's just I don't know. I think I have negative feelings towards being part of like a scene. And I feel like I remember when I was sitting at that one, I was like, there were like all of these little celebrities around me. And yeah, I just had like a general admissions ticket. I just happened to be sitting by these types of celebrities. Two actors from the show Lost were sitting right next to me.
Huge show.
At the time, yeah. And I just remember going like, I don't know. It's like instead of it feeling cool, it feels like I don't want to be there.
Well, it depends on like what show I feel like going to an intimate venue.
That is true. That is true. Anytime I've gotten to see Dan Mangan, it'll be at a more intimate venue and it's cool amazing.
There's specific kind of events that I'm like, this is fun. Also, there's something nice about intimate venues knowing you're like, it's a half hour show.
Yes.
It's 45 minutes. I like knowing like Bruce Springsteen, Jesus Christ, the guy goes fucking
for, no, that
didn't take a break
one.
At all. Band took three breaks.
Yeah.
They all need to because they're in like 80s, okay? Mm-hmm. But like Bruce Springsteen is like going hard the whole time. I don't think I'd ever have seen like a better live show in my life, and I didn't even see him in his prime.
Yeah.
And this guy was fucking killing
it. Yeah.
Big band shows are the shit. They're so fun.
When I was in high school, I was really into this 70s band called Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Heard of it.
And I would listen to them all the time. That was like my number one sort of music that I listened to when I was in high school. And they like got together, the guys, the four of them to do a show near where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
And so me and all my little stoner friends were like, let's go see this show.
Yeah.
And so, and I'd been to like one really huge, amazing concert before that. I'd seen the Pixies live. That was the first live show I ever saw. And it was like a life-changing experience for me. And but I think I had never been stoned at a show, and I think that kind of just changed my relation to the experience. But so anyway, so we're at the show, I'm with all my little stoner friends, and everyone in the crowd, everyone's smoking weed, and it's a really fun experience for like a 17-year-old, you know. Mm-hmm. And then at this one point, Neil Young is very famously like really anti-government, and mm-hmm. like a lot of the American atrocities, you know, like he is very anti. And so, and he really hated George Bush, and Bush was president at this time. And so all of my friends, like they all slowly slink away and leave at this one moment where it's kind of like most of the band has left as well. It's almost like an intermission, but it's not. It actually becomes just a solo moment of just Neil Young. And I'm sitting there and I'm in this sort of like, I'm staring right at him, and I'm high school stoned. Where it's like, it's a way deeper, scary experience of being stoned. And then when you're suddenly alone, it's even more scary. And you're kind of like, does my mom hate me? You know, it's like that kind of stoned. And Neil Young sings this song called Let's Impeach the President. And it was, I mean, I didn't know this term at the time because it wasn't around, but it was, I would describe it as highly cringe. Because as he's singing this song, they're on the screen, it's like showing George Bush. But then he has like doodled on like devil horns, and he's got like red eyes, and it's going like, let's impeach the president. And it was like, it was terrifying to me. Like it became suddenly, I was like, I am so scared and I want to get the fuck out of here. And I kind of feel like that was the beginning of the end of the live
concert experience.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, you were high. That's like, they'd just be sober for it. Next one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, but then when I'm not stoned at a thing like that, my boredom increases exponentially.
That's true. Yeah, I get that as well. Yeah. Live events in general or live events.
Yes.
I'd rather be at home.
I know.
Unless it's a championship game.
Have we just
aged
into this?
No, I don't think. I think I've always been that way. I think I've always liked to be a homebody. I enjoy the comforts that I like amenities. It's just crazy. I'm always thinking every time I go to a live event, no matter how much I want to be there.
Can't wait till this is over.
I have to leave before everyone else does.
I
got to get the fuck out of here.
Do you feel that at a sporting event as well?
At any event, yes.
At sports events, I have this feeling of like when everyone starts leaving, I'm just going to sit here and just hang out.
Great. Well, either way, I'm like, okay, well, it's either time lost or time gained. So that's how I'm just not a fan. Unless, of course, courtside seats or like I'm on the 50-yard line of a football game. Like if there's, I'll stick around for whatever. Like if it's a great game or a matchup that I really want to see, championship thing, I'm like, you fucking do it.
Yeah.
It's just because you're like, once in a lifetime, this is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
I've yet to go to a Lakers game in LA. I've been to Clippers
game. I went
to
one, but LeBron didn't play. So it's kind of a bust.
It's just horrible.
Yeah.
My goal is I'm only going to go to a Lakers game when I get courtside seats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to get them.
Good luck, buddy.
I don't know how I'm going to get them, but that's it. So, look, Lakers, if you want to see me at the game, maybe give me some courtside seats.
Teats?
Yes. I want my teats exposed.
But don't you feel like it is sort of like, I actually feel like of all the things we've ever talked about on this podcast, this is the one I anticipate the biggest negative reaction to.
I don't care.
Like, I really
I think
feel
it's
like,
okay to get
like
that kind
people
of heat.
Really, they judge you for not being able to enjoy a live music performance.
Okay. All right. I mean,
do you agree with that? I feel like it's a thing that people are like, you don't like live music?
I mean, they're right in like live music is the best music. Hearing an artist perform,
but I'm like, no, I don't agree with that. I'm like, the best music is I have my headphones on and I'm totally enwrapped in the experience of the music. Like it's like I watch it live and I kind of go like, oh, love what this normally sounds like.
No, I agree with
like
them
there is if they hit it and you're like, wow, it sounds the same here as it does. I can't believe this is live.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying like I'm not talking about going to see your favorite artist live. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm saying like going to see music or like you're in an environment where music is playing. I've seen like shitty bands rock the fuck out.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's nothing better than this, where these people are just in their id, just in the flow state, just crushing it, and the vibe is right.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not going to buy this album. I'm not going to listen to this album. Or, like, I listen to Drake, but I'm like, I'm not going to go to a Drake concert. That's going to be boring as shit.
Yeah.
Like, no, thank you. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this. So there is this thing. I'm like, live band, like a full band.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything better than seeing that live.
Yeah.
I know that. I don't want to be there long.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be there. I want to go like, holy shit, this is awesome. Let's leave.
There were, I won't say the bands, but there have been two bands where I went to see them live and then seeing them live made me no longer like their music.
Oh, really?
Where I was really into the music and then I saw it live and then it was actually them talking in between songs that made me go like, these people, I don't like this.
No,
they are not cool.
Well,
here's what I would do about live music. is I would, if I'm going to go to a live show,
yeah,
I want my seat to be, not a seat, but I want to be laid out on the stage.
Right.
And I want to have headphones on. And all of their instruments, you know, it's all going live feed to my headphones.
Okay.
And I get to just kind of lay mummy-like on stage. And they're all going to avoid me. And I'm right there. And I can close my eyes. Yeah. And I kind of feel the music. And they're all jumping over me, avoiding me. Oh, like, wow, all this, wow, work to avoid me. But I get to listen to it as though I'm home alone. But I'm also engaged more than anyone else by being right on the stage.
Why don't they put you, like, in, like, a lower level or
it's
something?
It's just my request to be laid there like a little mummy. It's just, like, a personal preference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I would do at live concerts is I'm definitely going to be there. I'm going to be in the pit hanging out. But at any live concert I go to, every artist, no matter if they know me or not, they probably do.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look in the eyes, they see me, they go, oh shit, here he is. They bring me on stage. They give me any instrument and they let me just fucking rip.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, no matter how much you suck.
Well, I don't know how to play.
Yeah.
But like, it's just like, let's fucking go. Because if there's one thing that we all want when we go to a live concert or any live like event is we want to be there.
I want a little attention too.
Why not? I paid the admission, didn't I? Yeah. Right? Shouldn't people look at me for a half hour?
I think that entitles me to be watched for your art as well.
I just feel like whether it's sports, whether whatever, people see me in the crowd and they go, you in now. And I'm like, got to suit up. Got to go play for the Rams.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Third and short. I'm a defensive tackle. Here's what I'll
say about this, is that does sound true that you do want that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
I
just feel like, of course you do, Mike.
Oh,
of course you do. You're at a Clippers game. You're in the bleachers. You're eating.
Oh, no, that's different. Yeah, if I'm at a basketball game, I want more than anything. I want to be called down to do the skills challenge. I would say it's one of my main fantasies, like, is to do the skills challenge.
And then, okay, guess what? You're at a U2 concert, all right? And then they're like, you know, Bono's out there singing, and then he looks on the crowd and goes, my castle, come here. Right? And then you go in there and then you start singing with Bono.
Yeah.
And then, like, come on, dude, don't
you
tell me.
You got stuck in a moment.
There it is, dude. You'd crush.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I would do.
That's sick. Moving right along. Now, one you have to say.
Yes, I do. We're talking about brushing dogs' teeth.
Yeah. Now, this is a really important issue, I would say, to me.
Issue.
Because I really want to do it with my dog, because she has, her breath smells worse than anything I've ever smelled.
What do you mean, do it?
Brush her teeth. I don't mean have sex with my dog, Joey. And I actually don't appreciate the implication that is what I meant. But no, I want, my dog's teeth are nasty and her breath is rancid. And there was a time like 2 years ago, we brought her to the vet and they were like, oh, we're going to do a dental exam. We came back and then they were like, yeah, we had to extract 12 teeth.
What?
12?
Holy shit.
How many are in there? I don't know if it was 12, but it was a big number where I was kind of like, oh my God.
What the fuck?
But so after that, we tried to do the teeth brushing stuff. But it doesn't seem like it really does anything. Like and she fucking hates it.
Yeah.
But I have friends, Betsy Sodaro, actually, her dog, the most white, beautiful teeth I've ever seen. And she's like, we brush those teeth every day. And I'm like, damn, yeah. I should do it.
No,
everyone
should. But I find it the most difficult thing ever of like, it's one of those things you're like, fuck, I didn't do this early enough.
Yes. Like, it's gross. It's annoying. It's difficult. And I just don't want to do it.
I feel like I got to get my dog like CBD high.
Yeah.
And then do it.
Yeah, well, your dog has so much energy.
Oh, my God. Like, he does not. Like, he'll be like, get the fuck away. Run away from me. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, brushing your dog's teeth is paramount.
Yeah.
Necessary.
Do you do it ever?
No. But when we take it to the groomers, they'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they're, like, got a harness down. They got syringes in them. Yeah. Like, you know, pumping them full of just testosterone so he gets bigger.
Yeah. Oh, that's the kind of groomer you're going to? You're going to, like, a bodybuilder groomer?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
But I'm like, I don't... It's just, we got to do it because I feel so bad that they got to take their teeth out.
That's how
out,
I feel,
man.
As well.
Like,
it's exactly,
man,
how I feel.
Like,
I know.
Guy, fuck.
I know. But so then, is that would just be, that's just what's happening in nature then with all these animals.
But the vets, the vet would say, like, look, it's like best you can to do that, but like the teeth are going to fall out. Like, that's
so crazy.
That's what they were like telling me. They're like, look, it's like, it's inevitability that you're going to have to extract. Like, it's just going to happen. And I was like, are you fucking sure?
Isn't it weird to think of like animals like just in the wild and they have a bunch of cavities?
I do they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. You're saying it's probably part of the diet that we keep all of our animals.
I'm like, I don't know what the fuck. They're like, we're feeding them shit. Like,
you're still feeding them shit?
Horse shit? Like, no, I have them this like really nice Just Food for Dogs. That's what I get.
So it's like, we do like, what's it called? Farmer's Dog.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like some meat stuff. Yeah. And she goes bananas for it. Yeah. So it's great, I guess.
Like there's, I'm like, I want my, any like my animal, anyone that you're taking like care of, human or not, right, to be eating well, myself included.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, man, I just want to, if like, provided I want to give you the best versions of whatever I can give, right? Mm-hmm. And like that should be one of them, because I don't think like the food, that the kibble and all that stuff is good. Mm-hmm. And like, I bet it's like,
yeah, it doesn't seem
it's
like
filled
it
with shit. It's like in the same way, like, look, I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's not good for me.
It's not good
for me. So I'm like, what is, I'm sure there was that version with it too. So I don't know if animals in the wild have cavities.
Uh-huh.
Do humans have eroded teeth? If we didn't have dental
I would
care?
Assume so. Yeah, yeah.
Even if we didn't have like sugars or other shit.
Natural sugar. Yeah, I would assume. So. Yeah. I would assume
Yeah, I guess plaque naturally builds up.
Yeah.
So like that makes sense.
And also I always think about like, you know, our ancestors from 100, 200 years ago. All of them had fucked up teeth.
Well, they didn't have braces, but like...
No, but I'm saying their teeth were flying out of their mouths.
But you still have like... there's a lot of like I've seen skulls like with full rows of teeth and shit.
That's
like,
true.
Like, you know, so I'm like, what's up with that? What the fuck's up?
Hey, look, I'm not educated on this topic.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
When did we start taking out wisdom teeth?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when the fuck, like, I mean, I know dental care has been around forever.
Yeah.
But like, when the fuck did we
like, were they just busting in all the time and blasting out our teeth?
I don't know, dude. Yeah. I don't know.
When did you get your wisdom teeth removed?
Recently, a couple years
really?
Ago. Yeah.
Oh, did your face bloat?
I don't think so.
Oh, dude, I got my wisdom teeth removed when I was like 16.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to be going like to some.
Oh, like the cheeks here? Like
this? Yeah. But basically, I got my my passport picture taken.
Same
like,
day?
Like a week after.
Oh, my God.
I had like the most blown out face you've ever seen.
That's wild.
It was so crazy. It was a thing where for years I was like, well, I can't wait to get a new picture.
Did they ever, was anyone ever like, this isn't you?
Kind of. People would always go like, oh my God. Like it literally looked like I was like in a fat suit, basically.
That's
like my,
crazy.
It was
just so inflamed.
One side of my mouth got infected, so it was like really blown.
Mine did as well. I don't know what they, I feel like dentists gotta do a better job of that. They had to crush my teeth. They like break my teeth in my mouth.
Wow.
That was wild. I just remember like, and I, you know, I'm numb the fuck out, so I don't feel anything.
Yeah,
I'm just being
yeah.
like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we just got to do this. I'm like, you just got to.
Uh-huh.
There's no way to cut around my jaw.
Mm-hmm.
You can't open my jaw up right now and just like pull it out.
Dental work, and I hope this doesn't get anybody mad, but it does feel weirdly imprecise. Like I kind of, like I was at a cleaning like a couple weeks ago, and I'm sort of like, really? Like, oh, you're just getting in there and just like scratching at it with like a little piece of metal? It's like, that's what we're at. Like, you know, they'll do the one where it's like the water drill cleaner, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the time, they're just getting in there scraping. Like,
you
haven't
what?
Figured this out.
I think that's just what works, dude.
Yeah.
That's just what works. Like, there's nothing better.
But I always feel like in the middle of like any dental appointment I have, when they're just really going to town like that, I'm sort of just like, we're not past this. We don't have another method to do here.
Well, these are the methods.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the best one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best one.
Here's the thing that I would do about brushing my dog's teeth. I don't want to do it. So yeah. I feel like what we need is, have you seen this? I feel like I've seen it in Instagram ads where it's like a thing that you like put into your human mouth and it like kind of looks like a mouth guard, but then it has like a bunch of little bristles in it and it does all this crazy shit to clean all your teeth at once.
No.
Oh, okay. I mean, I feel like I've seen it in like the sort of like beauty Instagram
like targeted
sort of
ad.
Yeah. But I would want something like that for my dog, where I just put it in there and it just does all the work for it. Because the main problem that I have with brushing my dog's teeth is the toothbrush. I have a small dog. The head of a toothbrush, like we have a specialized one, but then even that, it's like I can't get the right amount of toothpaste on. You gotta hold up the lips. Like it is. We're not there yet with the technology, and we need to do something.
Yeah,
else.
You can't use a human brush on a dog's mouth.
And
to that point, actually goes into my what I would do is to really understand how to brush a set of teeth for a dog. Mm. Like I need to have those teeth in my mouth for a bit to really get to know where to hit
to understand.
So I would get my dog's teeth not. I wouldn't get theirs, but I'd get them like, you know, molded.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have my teeth removed with my dog's teeth then put in. And I know what you're thinking.
Just for a while.
Well, they have elongated snout. They don't have a flat mouth.
Yeah. No, the shape is totally wrong.
So what I would do is, and then I would elongate my mouth in order to fit the teeth so it could be appropriately, you know.
So you kind of do like one of those Ripley's Believe It or Not scenarios where you basically modify yourself into becoming a dog.
I'm not a dog. I just have a dog's mouth, my dog's mouth, in order to brush its teeth.
Uh-huh.
So I can then brush
How long do you keep this apparatus in there?
apparatus, it's my face.
No, your teeth and stuff. I'm saying like the molded teeth that you've had inserted.
Like my teeth.
That's forever?
No, it's not forever. Just until I get a mastery of like how to brush them.
Okay. So once you've then mastered it, where you go like, I see, it's got to be more like this. Then you get your human teeth put back in?
Well, the dog has that teeth.
Your dog has?
My teeth.
The human teeth. Even though you're not taking your dog's actual teeth, as you said.
Right.
So for no reason, though, so you make a mold of those, then you put their teeth into your mouth, and then you go, better remove their teeth.
Well, no, I also got to elongate my mouth.
Because Right. But at the same time, there's another surgery going on where they're removing the teeth from your dog, and then they're putting your teeth into it.
No,
and
no, so, a mold of my teeth.
Right. Yeah, okay, so neither of you guys are getting the actual teeth. It's a mold. And then are they going to, whatever the opposite of elongate is for a dog,
squish
the face in to make it more human shaped to put your teeth in there.
Yes.
But now, again, we've kind of entered into a gift of the Magi scenario where now what you're learning how to do is no longer relevant because now the teeth you're going to brush in your dog's mouth are your old teeth.
Yes. But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
I don't have human hands. My dog has my hands and I have my dog's hands. Because if I want to figure out how to why aren't they brushing? Because they can't pick it up. You know how hard it is to pick it up with dog's paws? Doesn't make any sense. We gotta have a new brush that a dog can pick up and brush its own teeth.
Well, that is just a good idea. Moving right along.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So, here we go.
So you have this new problem where you are coughing up hairballs like a cat.
Yes.
And it's not just hairballs. It is sentient, and it has opinions, and it's really negative of you. Like, it's saying, like, right out of the gate that it's your fault. They're like, you shouldn't be having hairballs. It's something you're doing, fat boy. And they're really attacking you all the time. And you're kind of a little bit like, they're right. Like, why do I have hairballs?
What's happening
here?
I know what
to do. What do you do?
I chug Nair.
You chug Nair?
Yeah, that Australian hair removal thing.
Oh, I don't know about this.
If there's hair in my tummy or my throat,
yeah,
I'm gonna wipe it out.
Okay.
I go nuclear immediately. I'm not here to figure this out. I'm not here to go to see a witch, a hair witch, and figure what's going on, who do I need to right from this wrong. I don't care. I'm gonna chug some Nair.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make sure whatever hair is inside my tummy that's popping out of sentient wiped out. You don't get to talk to me like that.
I love that.
You don't get to do
and
that.
And you're doing what's good for yourself too. You're
I think so too. I'm like, look, man, this is a Drano. This is a pipe cleaner situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the hell it is. I just got to clean it out.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense to me.
You know, it's over the counter. I can use it. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay. A little late in the game.
Hey, but I got there, baby.
You're huge into kayaking. You love it, okay? A bud of yours tells you they know this really cool whitewater route or whatever it's called. Let's call it a stick mover. That's what they call the
different... Sure, I think route is right.
No, but I think for kayaking, they call it a stick mover because you put your stick in the water and you move.
Sure.
So I got this sick-ass stick mover I really want you to jump into with. It's awesome, except it's going to cost about 10 grand for the total trip. And then when we get there, we're going to have a guide. Right? But we don't know who it is until we get there. So you're like, fuck it. Once in a lifetime trip. Why not? Apparently this is the pinnacle of stick moving. You're like, let's go. Uh-huh. You get there. Everything's set up. You're super excited with your boy. You turn around. Who's your guide? It's me.
Ugh.
What do you do?
Honestly, I'm not even kidding. I would start to become so scared for my life. I'm not joking at all. Oh my God. It's like I'm about to be put under to have surgery and you walk in, it would feel the same level of gravity where I just go this is the same as there just being a ton of holes in the bottom of the kayak where I'm just it's just assured death.
Yeah.
And so I just go, I have a Final Destination Devon Sawa freak out.
No.
Where I leap out and I go it's going to blow. We're all going to die. And I have a total meltdown and I refuse to do the trip.
But you're in the middle of nowhere.
I don't care. I would rather brave the middle of nowhere wilderness than be in a kayak with you as the guide.
Okay, man.
No offense.
No offense. But you will perish in the jungle.
Fine.
You're going to be safe on the stick movement.
I don't agree with that. I feel like there is no less safe environment than you at the helm of the safety.
Okay.
No offense.
And none taken.
You're having a colonoscopy. Your doctor is like, we're going to check in there. We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to clear you out.
Having one like a dinner.
Yeah, sure. You go over to your doctor's house, you have a little dinner, and then he's like, let's throw a little colonoscopy.
I'll host a colonoscopy.
And so doctor wakes you up kind of abruptly. You don't expect this to happen. You're like, what?
What's going on?
And he's like,
why am I asleep during the colonoscopy?
Don't they put you under for a colonoscopy? I'm pretty sure they do.
Don't think they put you under.
Okay, fine. Then you're having some sort of medical procedure in which they put you under and they're looking through your
body.
There's
a tube in my butt.
Sure. And basically they wake you up and they go, we had to wake you up because we just discovered something insane inside of your body.
Is it cool?
And they're like, is this actually? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, what is it?
And so he goes, well, let me just give you a little context first. So then you guys watch the entire movie, that Martin Short movie. I think it's called Inner Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. You watch that movie. Is Dennis Quaid in that?
I think he is.
And then they show you the two episodes of the magical school bus
where they go inside,
Lewis and then whatever the other person is. Mm-hmm. And they basically go, we found like 700 different like tiny little ships inside of your body. And they're all in there and they're investigating like something inside of your body. We don't know why. We didn't even know this technology existed. Do you want us to take them out or what do you think we should do?
Mm-hmm.
You want them taken out?
Yeah.
Okay. So then they extract 600 pods.
That's not how we're doing it.
Oh, okay.
That's not how we're doing it.
Well, you take over then.
You're shrinking me down. I'm going in there. I'm doing it myself.
Okay. Now, I do have to point out the problem with the logic there. So if we're shrinking you down, that shrinks them down as well. So the ratio would remain the same, right?
Yeah, but I'm smaller, so I can go inside.
But they're inside. You can't go inside of your own body.
If I'm small enough, I can.
No, because then your body, what are you going into?
My body.
But you're still shrunk down. It's your body is getting shrunk down. Like, okay, so let's say that, let's just use some variables here.
Okay,
you are A, right? And
A what?
A, you were the variable A. Fine. Oh my God, what is one that won't confuse you? You are J for Joey, the variable J.
Yes.
J contains A and B, which are, let's say, all of these different vehicles inside of you.
Sure.
If they shrink down J, A and B are still shrunk down as well. J remains the sort of matrix where everything is happening.
Right.
You cannot, how does J enter J? There's no...
Well, how big is J?
No, doesn't matter because J can't. There aren't two J's, right. So maybe if you cloned yourself, work for you?
No, what are you talking about? No, okay. Dude, we didn't have this technology. We just figured out there's little tiny ships inside of me.
Uh-huh.
If there's one thing that we got to do is you got to shrink me so I can go inside of myself to take these things out.
But I feel like you're not understanding the core thing here, which is that you can't go inside of you because you are you.
But who else is going to do it?
Anyone else? Anyone else can do it.
Yeah, but I don't trust them to do it.
Yeah, so I think then you just got to have a different plan.
My plan is the same.
What if you send in like six people you vaguely trust, but they all have on like GoPro cameras and you are directing them, you know, via some sort of control?
No one's going to be able to navigate my body better than me. I know my body better than anyone else.
But I don't agree because you're the guy who thinks shrinking your body down allows you to go inside of your body.
It does. If I shrunk you down, you can jump inside your body.
No.
Yes, because you'd be this big and then I shrunk you down, you could jump inside the body.
I think that we have to just put an X through this one and just move right into the next one.
You're at a quinceañera, mm-hmm. Okay? Or you're at a bar mitzvah. You're at a party, okay? And
sure.
You've been hired to make balloon animals mm-hmm. for people. You don't want this job. You hate it. You think it's just a bummer of a gig, okay? But you're actually really good at it. Mm-hmm. All right. One day you're making some balloon animals and this like drunk uncle comes up to you and goes, hey man, I really like that. Do you mind? Can you make a car?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah. You're like, yeah, I guess. Right. He's like, yeah. Can you make a 1967 Corvette? And you're like, he shows you a photo and you're like, yeah, I guess you could. So you do it.
To scale?
No. Just like, you know, like a little one, 80. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You make that one and the guy's like, yeah, that's really cool. And he hands you his card. Right. And you're like, hold on. He's like, give me a call. I got a job for you. And you're just so bored with this shit, and you're like kind of like desperate.
Hey, this isn't my goal.
No, right.
You know, so you're like, I have other ambitions.
Fuck it, dude. Whatever. So you give this guy a call, hit him up, right? And he's like, oh yeah, that's right. Hey, the balloon guy. Like, yeah, yeah. He's like, why don't you come by my office? Working downtown. You're like, okay, he gives you the address, and you're like, I think I know the building. You're like, beautiful building. You go up to a 30 some odd floor. You go in there, beautiful office. You go inside and you see that he has an assistant. They're like, just wait a moment. You know, Mr. Rashfield will be with you in a moment. You're like, Mr. Rashfield, it's okay. Didn't even get his name. Doors open. Amazing art deco, just like power money kind of office. You're like, holy shit, who the fuck is this guy? When I met him, he was like a schlubby drunken dude, like what the fuck? And then you get in there and he's just like dialed in on like two different phone calls, hangs them both up and says, Mike, come on in. Mm-hmm. I love what you did with the balloons. Really blew my mind. I'm looking for that kind of energy, that kind of ingenuity here in the office. I'd like you to make balloon animals for me every day. Mm-hmm. Right, and I'll give you $100,000 a year salary.
Oh, okay.
To do that, you just got to make balloons whenever I want them, based on whatever image I show you.
Yeah.
Do you think you could do that?
Oh, definitely, definitely. No, I would love to do that. That yeah. I would actually say that is my ideal type of job.
But even though you didn't want to do balloon work,
I didn't want to do it in the slow level.
Yeah.
I want to do it on the corporate level.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring me all the way up to the top, yeah, and I'm doing it for the big baby. Dogs. Yeah.
C-suite balloon maker.
Yeah. Well, I also always love the idea of being the pet to a rich person.
Yes.
You know, that's what could be more yes. comfy cozy than that.
I mean, especially where we're getting at, like yeah. just in the way our economy works. Like,
yes, we're just oligarchs.
Cozy
everywhere.
Up to a billionaire, people.
Yeah.
Find a billionaire and be a little jester boy for mm-hmm. him. That, like, that's our job now.
That's why I want to hedge my bets and be the jester boy for the AI that eventually takes over.
They're not going to pay you.
They don't use currency. They're going to let me do improv for them and they're going to be entertained.
No, they're not. They're going to hate improv.
This is you being anti-AI.
I am anti-AI. Yeah, I am.
Well, that's where we defer, I guess.
I guess that's where it is.
Okay, you are in a... Have you ever seen the movie Vanilla Sky?
Yes.
You're in like a Vanilla Sky scenario. Like, it's just like suddenly you're just kind of like, huh? And you're on the top of this building.
Okay.
And people who are all looking at you, beautiful girlfriend, like, you know, all the exact
scenario. Is my face fucked up?
You have that, yeah, that like half mask on thing, whatever. But I am the guy who is going like, this is all a dream, Joey. You have to jump. You have to jump. And when you jump, you have to shit your pants. You gotta shit your pants and embarrass yourself in front of all of us and jump off this building. Do you trust me? Do you do it?
I grab you and I do it.
Yeah. Oh, you toss me with you.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I shit myself while and you're like, no. Yeah.
That's great.
I'm like, look, we're going out.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You're in charge of all the popcorn. Mm. For AMC theaters.
Okay.
Okay. You're doing quality control shit. So like, you know, every couple kernels that get popped, you sneak one and you're like, okay, you know, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Make sure this
good.
This
is another ideal job for me.
Okay, so you're like, okay, it's pretty good. Eventually you get this idea, you're like, you know what? We gotta change it up. And yeah. for no other reason than like you're just bored and you kind of want to make a stink about things. You're like, no, we can be better. And so you're not really a food chemist, you're not really a flavor guru, right? You're there because you have such a general simple palate that mm-hmm. they're like, you're the perfect popcorn tester because you just know.
I agree with right? this so far.
But you're like, fuck it, dude. I gotta add something to this. Something mm-hmm. unconventional, something strange that mm-hmm. like when people like, you know, Flaming Hot Cheetos, that kind of shit. Like,
yes.
What are you going to add to all AMC popcorn? And it's going to go out. They're not even going to know it's going to hit them. That the entire American audiences, movie going audiences, are going to ingest with this new flavor. What do you add?
Okay, I got two options here.
Okay.
But I think it has to be cheese based because it's in okay. America.
Yep.
So I would say we either do like a sort of shaved dust of either a Parmesan or an Asiago cheese. Oh, you do that
okay.
on top.
Yeah.
Or you do tiny little feta crumbles.
Oh, like curds or something
within
like
it. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, yeah. cool.
Well, I appreciate you.
You didn't want to do like salmon pieces?
No. Okay, thanks for listening and enduring.
Thank you so much. We have a Patreon. You know what I would do at patreon.com?
I don't think that's right.
I don't think
that there's any world in which that is right.
I don't even look, we do have a Patreon.
Yeah, I believe
we do.
You.
All right. And if you'd like to join it, feel free. That helps us a lot. It helps us pay for these videos. Helps us pay for different elective surgeries, like getting my mm-hmm. mouth elongated and getting dogs' teeth put inside. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see that, if you want that to happen, hell, if you want full videos soon, help us out because it costs money. We don't have the money yet. We're building up to it, but we're going to make sure that we have all this shit available.
It's really hard to figure out how to edit our own videos in a good quality, and we're not smart enough to do it.
No, sorry.
Yeah.
I got to work out.
Yeah. I got to nap.
So.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.